We're 1 week on from Pope Francis's return to the Vatican following his three very intense days there in Armenia. Is it too early, do you think, to talk about the legacy of that trip?
I think we had the result of the visit in the soul of the people, regular, simple people, who assisted the Mass of the Holy Father, and they got the message immediately. And why I say immediately? Just because we heard the resonance of this message in the mouth of the very simple people. And they put it in evidence wherever they saw and they witnessed it for.
What would you say was that key message? Because he had many different things to say in the different places he visited.
The most immediate message that the faithful took it was the simplicity of His Holiness, the spirituality, and His modesty and the mode of His presence and His approach. And in this case, a fundamental change happened, touched the souls of these people, and we saw them immediately after His visit, this frequency of visiting the church, having the contact with the clergy, asking for services, approaching for the prayers, which is something unusual that we didn't experience it before.
So you're saying that he reminded Armenians of their responsibility as the first Christian country to safeguard that spiritual legacy.
Exactly, because, you know, when you are used to something, becomes a little...
You take it for granted.
Yeah, for granted, and then you don't hear the resonance or the sense of that spirituality. And you think that everything is okay. If you come to the church for 5 minutes and get out, you think that you did your obligation of the day. One of the very touching moment that the 30,000 people in the plaza assisting to the Holy Mass of His Holiness, no one pronounced one word. It was a deep silence. You can go and check on the videos and you see this was one of the signs that the people was completely hypnotized by His Holiness and that environment of the prayer and the holiness. So practically, I think that this visit gave already the first fruit spiritually in the soul of the people.
It also put Armenia back onto the international stage for 3 days, didn't it, in terms of visibility and focus also on this controversial question of the genocide. What effect do you think that had in terms of perhaps politicizing this issue a little bit?
For me, I think the genocide is a historical fact. So we don't need so much proclamations of the genocide, one. Secondly, the Armenian people as Christian is not only in the 1915 had this massacre and had this genocide. Since the 451, with the holy war, let's call it that way, of Vartanats, they gave thousands of martyrs to the church, defending the Christianity at that moment. And they resisted and remained in the faith, let's say, strongly attached till today. And I served for 43 years priesthood in different parts of the world, starting from United States to the Europe to Middle East. I never had this experience like I have it now in this area in Armenia and all the Caucasus, where young people, old people, all kind of people, they are so strongly attached and convinced in their Christian faith.
And so the trip has served to reinforce that
sense
of the faith.
Reinforce them and wake up them once again and to strengthen them in their faith and in their Christian religion.
Pope Francis is also going to visit Azerbaijan and Georgia in September. He talked about the need for peace between Armenia and Azerbaijan. What are your hopes for that trip? Can it do anything, do you think, to bring reconciliation between these two countries?
Any contact with any person, even if with your enemy, can give you always positive fruit. And my hope is to really not only with Azerbaijan and Armenia, but to work for the international peace, for the whole world. We are hearing all these attacks in the Middle East. It's the same thing as Azerbaijan and Armenia. It's the same thing also in different other parts of the world. So practically, the church as a Catholic universal church, I think our vision is larger than to go for one corner and fixed on that. Therefore, I say the prayer for the peace and the work for the peace, it's an obligation, it's a must for all of us, not only for His Holiness the Pope, but each one of us, it's a messenger for the peace.
We saw the conflict flare up again, though, didn't we, in April this year, the fighting. Do you worry, do you fear that it could, in fact, become an all-out war again, as we saw back in the 1990s?
You know, if there is one point very clear, when you are on the spot, you think and you feel differently from who is watching you from outside. We are used to all these kind of attacks. We are stronger than our wound. And we hope always for the positive approach and make the peace with all our environment and our neighbors.
Many see this as a proxy war
between Turkey and Russia, not only the Christian, non-Christian countries. We have the three quarters of the borders are not Christian. You have the Turkey, you have the Persian border, and you have Azerbaijan. So it's a large border that you have, and you have always to witness your identity and your personal belief and be open to everybody and receive everybody with peace. And this is the message and the mission of the Armenians in that area.
The Pope will also be visiting Georgia, which is less often in the news. You're responsible, aren't you, also for the church there. Tell us about the church in Georgia.
The church in Georgia, it's, let's say, free. We don't have any problems. And I have to mention that lately when the Catholic Church was accepted by the government and registered like official church in the country, we have also the assistance of the government. It's the only one place where the government assists the Catholic Church as assist the Orthodox churches. So practically, from this point of view, we can thank everybody and thank the government that has this large opening and consideration of the church as church without putting any differences between Orthodox or Catholic.
How does that affect your relationship with the Orthodox? How would you describe relations between the faithful?
I'm the last one arrived in this area. And I took this resolution to be very simple, very open, and respect them in their belief. And that was the master key to be accepted and to be all together in collaboration. I remember with His Eminence Cardinal Sandri, we went to visit the Patriarch of Georgia. And as you know, hardly they would accept to pray together with the Catholics. But he offered us a song that he wrote it to the Virgin Mary, and asked us to hear the music of that he composed. It took 10 minutes. After when we finished, His Eminence Cardinal Sandri, to thank him, he said, "Thank you, Holiness, that you gave us the opportunity to pray together."
And yet, as you say, Georgia is one of the countries, for example, that did not attend the Orthodox Council in Crete, for example.
Correct.
Do you think that the Pope will be able to do anything to improve relations between Catholics and Orthodox there?
After this experience and the experience before in the visits of His Holiness in different parts of the world, I think he has this magic capability to bring everybody to the central point, which is our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has this very simple approach, and he is always successful in his relations. And I believe that will be a very successful visit in Georgia too. And even in Azerbaijan, I believe for international peace.